Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot of basketball taking place over the weekend, obviously March Madness, the NCAA tournament. We'll get into all that in the next segment. In the first segment, I definitely want to talk about the current state of the Lakers and the Clippers. The Clippers are in a tough spot right now. They are only a half game up on the New Orleans Pelicans for the home court advantage in that 4-5 matchup. Really a bad spot for the Clippers to be in. They've played the Pelicans four times this season, and they've lost three. Bad matchup for them. The Lakers, on the other end of the spectrum, beat the Pacers yesterday, 150 to 145. If it seems like a lot of points, it is. That is the most points the Lakers have scored in a game since January 2nd, 1987. So it's been a long time since the Lakers have scored 150 points. But that win gives them three straight wins as they now go on a road trip. The significance there is that the Lakers are now just three games back of the number six seed and really, again, not being a part of the play-in tournament. But even if they are in the play-in tournament, they now have a 2.5 game lead on the Golden State Warriors. So they're in a good spot in terms of, at the very least, being in the play-in tournament, but really being within striking distance of the Phoenix Suns of really not being in a play-in tournament position. So let's now get a recap of the game last night, the Lakers' big win over the Indiana Pacers from Lakers head coach Darvin Ham and fan favorite, the man, the myth, the legend, it's Austin Reeves.
Hey, Austin, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Obviously, this is a high-scoring game tonight. Last time you guys did this was 1987. As someone that stepped into more of a defensive-minded role, what's something that you think you guys could learn from this game and take on the road trip with you?
Yeah, I think a lot. You never want to give up 145. You know, they got hot late. I think under a minute, they probably hit, you know, three or four threes, maybe more. But we just got to be better, you know, on the ball and rotations and really just collectively guard as a team. When we do that, you know, you have AD, you know, back there making things tough in the paint. You know, we're a good defensive team when we, you know, are defensive minded.
Kind of following up on that, you do score like 150, first time since 87. It's like a historic mark. But these kind of nights, these high scoring nights, seem to happen very frequently in the modern NBA. Just how can you, I guess, digest that in a bigger picture, and like where the league's at, and I guess how do you celebrate that kind of moment?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, to put up 150, you know, obviously you were doing something, you know, right on the offensive end. We shot 43 free throws, made 38 of them, which is a really good number as a team. And, you know, I think we were just playing downhill, physical, and trying to get to the paint. And when you do that, you get easy ones at the free throw line. And then on top of that, we, you know, shot the three ball well. So you enjoy it. You know, it's not, you don't really plan on doing that every night. So obviously you got to be better defensively. But, you know, when it does happen and with the way they play, you know, a win's a win.
Austin, how encouraged are you by, you know, Spencer stepping into the starting lineup and, you know, without D'Lo in the lineup, you guys kind of getting the chemistry going in a win and his development?
I mean, he was, you know, spectacular tonight, going 8 for 11 from the field, 2 for 3 from 3. You know, on ball defense, you know, doing a little bit of everything. And when he's himself, you know, he's a really, really good basketball player. And, you know, that's what we, you know, continue to preach him to do, is just be himself. And, you know, it's not easy. Anytime you step in a new situation, you know, kind of on the fly, it's tough. And, you know, sometimes you can get lost in trying to, you know, do the right thing too many times instead of just being yourself. Obviously, you want to do the right things and play the right way. But we know when he plays the game, he's smart and can play at the same time. So it's really just letting him be him.
Jordan?
Good question on Spencer, but also Anthony Davis, 36 points, 16 rebounds. It feels like every time in the game when he plays, bro, he's dominant. He's been dominant all season. He's been here, played almost every single game too as well. What have you seen from him this season that you really enjoy? Because I know you always talk about him and Bron and how easy it is playing with those two.
I just enjoy being his teammate. Obviously, he makes life, you know, so much easier for everybody on the court. But for me, I don't want to say more than anybody, but it makes my life feel much easier when he's out there on the court, just because, you know, his dominance of the game on both ends of the floor. You know, you can be more aggressive on ball when you're guarding the ball, knowing that he's weak side, and offensively, you know, with Bron and AD, those are the, you know, probably top two guys on everybody's scouting report. So anytime you can put them in actions and make defenses kind of second guess getting back to them, because that's, you know, probably what you should do, it just makes life easy. So I don't really expect, you know, anything less. You know, he continues to do it over and over again.
IQ just talked about enough, because he has a very high IQ. I don't think people really talk about it enough with him.
No,
when it
they
comes
don't.
To his IQ,
they don't.
Yeah,
I think it's IQ and feel. I think his feel for the game is, you know, close to second to none. Just knowing where, you know, rebounds are coming off, you know, knowing, you know, how to get into the right pocket, you know, in pick and roll situations. And like you said, his IQ, you know, that all kind of goes hand in hand. Just knowing the game, knowing how, you know, people are, you know, going to defend him and passing out of doubles, all that. So him doing all that's, you know, really nothing new to me.
Michael. Hey, Austin. You had that big block earlier. Had some. Seemed like you were pretty emotional after it. Some. You're pretty amped up. Can you just talk about that play and how that feel?
Yeah, I don't get many of them. So when I do, I'm happy. But I thought I had an opportunity to get a steal when Tyrese swung it. Obviously, I think I kind of second-guessed myself for a second, and then put myself kind of behind the play. And when he drove, I forgot who it was, low side, kind of slowed him down for a second and gave me an opportunity to get back into the play and, you know, just try to make a winning play. And it led to a LeBron layup, which is, you know, two big plays and a big situation in the game. So, like I said, I don't get many of them. So when I do, I got to cherish them. But, yeah, just trying to, you know, make winning plays.
Last two, we'll go Mike Trudeau and then
Austin. In the walk-off, Spencer was talking about how the offense has been there. So many guys can score that if you guys lock in that defense, that's going to be the thing on this trip. How have you noticed just this kind of shift in the team, whereas earlier this season the offense was struggling a bit, you guys were winning games on defense, now it's shifted a little kind of in the other direction, and how do you close these last couple games with that in mind?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it kind of I don't want to say depends on who you're playing, but style of play and games that are different. You know, like tonight, you know, Indiana plays at a super fast pace. They get up and down, shoot a lot of threes. So you kind of are forced to play that way. And like you said, our offense has been clicking lately, and I think it's just being, you know, comfortable and you know, our game plans, and then just that chemistry of, you know, continuing to play with one another. So obviously, you know, like I said, we've got to be better defensively. You know, 145 isn't going to win, you know, many games, but it's nice when, you know, those nights happen to be able to, you know, kind of flip the switch to which direction the game's going and, you know, try to win that way.
Hey, Austin.
Kind of like the block, there was a play in the middle of the game where you drove and you got fouled, but you kind of cocked it back for a second.
Oh, no. I was not about to dunk it. Absolutely not.
Is that something you're ever looking for or trying to get on your...
I mean, I would love to. I just think, you know... I didn't get blessed with, you know, the most athleticism in the world, so it would have to be perfect situation, me feeling good, legs feeling right, but no, that wasn't on my mind at all.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all.
Darvin, just starting with the offense, clearly it was there all night. I think it's the most points the Lakers have scored since 87. Where did that come along after it was a little bit rusty in the first game after the 3 days off?
I just thought, guys, the ball moved. The ball had some pop to it. And guys just playing downhill, you know, not settling, not being indecisive. We had screening well. Guys just, again, being deliberate where they want to take the ball. Quick decisions, all of the above, and, you know, it got spread around a lot. And so just got to continue that trend and stay aggressive, you know, love and live in the paint as we like to do. Try to win the free throw line and just do it on a consistent basis.
On those late threes that Indy was hitting, were some of those blown coverages, or and how did you think the defense was throughout the night?
The biggest thing we've been talking about is red, and when we red aggressive. Red, and, you know, tippy cap to him, Halliburton, a couple of the ones he threw in late were from deep, what we call the four-point line. And so, but you know, you got to know, you know, time, score, situation, and honor the call. A couple of them, you know, we yell red, and there was no screen, and one of our mantras is no screen, no scheme. But in that type of situation, you just got to honor your teammates' call, honor the red call, knowing that they're hunting threes. And so, you know, it got a little topsy-turvy there. But then again, you know, getting ready to red up, we got heels above the three-point line. He's pulling from the logo down there. So it's just one of those things, man. We're just happy we came out on the right side of it. And I told him after the game, you know, it's just, we talk about, you know, not just wins and losses, but wisdom and lessons. And the lesson is, when you get a 19-point lead, whatever it was, you got to come out and finish them. You know, you can't allow them any type of breathing room. You put a chokehold on the game, you got to finish them. But, you know, the wisdom is that we were able to gut it out. We continue to swing back and came out on the right side of this one.
Spencer got the start, and you guys hadn't won any of the games prior to tonight when Russell had not been able to play. What does it say about what he did tonight? How does it speak to how he's accepted another role, right? Because obviously tonight got the ball in his hands, got more shots, was needed for that offensive burst with, you know, missing D'Angelo's points, but obviously that's not usually what you guys are asking him to do.
I mean, it's just that's the type of player he is. He's multifaceted. He's willing to accept and embrace whatever role is put in front of him. We've asked him to, you know, to defend some high-level perimeter guys, to play make as well, and to be aggressive when he sees opportunities to be aggressive. Tonight he did all three. And that's just who he's been in his career. You know, he's able to step in when called upon. And, you know, everyone from the days we had off in the film session, the dialogue we had amongst ourselves as a team, everyone just has been encouraging him to be aggressive, be aggressive, be aggressive. Don't worry about, you know, this, am I doing this wrong? Did I shoot this one too soon? Don't worry about any of that. Just stay aggressive. And tonight he came out with that mindset, and it worked out, and we needed every bit of it.
And just now that you kind of finish out this home heavy stretch that you had, how do you feel about your group as you head into this final stretch with 8 out of 11 on the road?
Extremely confident. Extremely confident. Sometimes, you know, the road, you plan it, you know, on the road in front of someone else's home crowd, not your own. But a lot of times, that time you get to spend, whether it's going from the plane to the bus to the hotel to the bus to the game, shoot around, everything in between, you know, you become more locked in with one another, more cohesive, not having, you know, the daily grind of, I don't want to call it a grind, but the daily regimen of at the facility, then back dealing with, you know, family and all of that. All of that's super duper important, don't get me wrong. But when you get out on the road, you know, guys get a chance to lock in with each other, have more dialogue, spend more time. And I think we're in a great space going on this upcoming trip.
Darvin, you mentioned pregame, your guys' ability to play different styles, be it slower or faster. Do you feel like this weekend was kind of an encapsulation of that, where you have the game Friday, it's kind of a slugfest, more of a defensive-minded game. Tonight, you guys are scoring 150 season high. Like, does that kind of show that you guys can win playing different styles?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You got to have that diversity. You got to have that balance. And it was time segments in this game where we had to slow it down. Times we sped it up. And it's predicated on your defense as well. You know, if you're able to turn people over and get live ball steals, live ball deflections, and those turn into steals, if, you know, your offense gets to humming, you get dunks, you get open threes, your crowd gets into it, it energizes everyone on the team and everyone in the building. So a lot of that has to do with the defense. But, yeah, we pride ourselves on being able to do both.
Darvin, I think Mike mentioned earlier the 150 most the Lakers have scored since 86-87. Just because of the way offenses, I guess, have evolved, and it seems like these scoring outputs happen more often than not recently. Just can that appreciation for this kind of scoring output still be there, considering the way that game is moving?
I think it's happening. It's so common now, man. Guys are more skilled. There's more freedom of movement. You know, the three ball, the way it's impacted the game, you're going to have these high-scoring games like this, man. And as you can see, you know, I remember coming into the league in 96, and, you know, you have a 22-20, 19, anything 17 or above lead, it's pretty much safe, you know, sometimes throughout the quarter. But nowadays, it can evaporate in about five or six possessions, you know, and so you have to continuously play, continuously have a next play mentality. But the skill level of these guys now, and the way teams are shooting the three-ball, and shooting the three-ball, and the volume of threes that we're seeing from game to game, it makes it where this has become, instead of you know, something that's foreign, it's totally common now. And so you just got to try to keep up as best you can.
In all the conversations, Darvin, about how this is just the way it is, in the same breath, giving up 145 points, 46 in the fourth quarter, is it something that in a win you can key in on differently? I imagine that's not exactly what you want to see, especially.
Hell no, that's not what I want to see.
As all this talk about, well, hell no, this is fine. I mean, I can't imagine it is.
Oh my God, we go from holding, you know, a really talented, offensively talented Philadelphia team to 18 points in the fourth to what we give up tonight, 46. I'm like, man, but, you know, you're going to have nights like that. There's different ways you're going to have to win games. You know, it's going to be those knockdown dragouts, and it's going to be, you know, a Ferrari versus a Lamborghini on the highway sometimes, drag race. And so, for real. And so you just got to – the biggest thing is you got to keep pushing forward through the game. No matter what type of game it is, you got to keep pushing through. It's hard. You get disappointed, like, oh, man, we had this cushion. It's evaporated. Man, what's going on? What are we doing? Just that, instead of having that type of mindset, you just say, okay, they made another three. Now we got to make sure we get something going on the other end as well. And then try to alleviate those and take them away as best we can. I mean, sometimes, you know, they got second, third possessions, you know, off their offensive glass. And, you know, we were careless with the ball on a couple of them. A couple of them, we played great defense and they made tough shots. It's a variety of all of that. But the thing, again, I can't stress it enough to my team, to you all, we have to constantly have a next play mentality. Because if you don't have that, you lose a really bad loss with the way that game had trended and then what the turn it made and those guys storming back. But us continuing to fight, I think, make all the difference in the world.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
All right, that was Austin Reeve, Lakers head coach Darvin Ham. Again, a really big win for the Lakers as they go on a long road trip now. I mean, when you can get Three straight wins like that put yourself in position where you now have a 2.5 game lead on the Golden State Warriors. And again, within striking distance, three games behind the Phoenix Suns for the sixth seed, 2.5 games back of the Kings and the Mavericks for the seventh and the eighth seed. So they're in a good position right now. The team that has not been in a good position is the Los Angeles Clippers. They are now only a half game back of the New Orleans Pelicans for that 4-5 matchup. Again, a really bad matchup for the Clippers when you look at first round teams that they did not want to see in the first round. That would have been one of them, following a 121-107 loss yesterday to the Sixers. The Clippers have just been very herky-jerky over the last month or so of the season. They've been a 500 team. They've been one of the worst teams in the league defensively. So, you know, will the return of Russell Westbrook next week help that? It should help somewhat. But in terms of the size, I mean, they are one of the smallest teams in the league, and that has been one of their deficiency when it comes to defense, when it comes to rebounding. They are one of the worst teams in the league on both fronts. So can they find a way to shore that up before the first round series with the Pelicans? We'll see how that goes. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll talk about USC and the women of Troy being one win away from the Sweet 16. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 is with the California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. It was also a big weekend for the USC Women of Troy and Juju Watkins advancing to the round of 32. They play Kansas tonight with a bid in a Sweet 16 up for grabs. Do you want to now play for you some sound after USC's big win over the weekend over Texas A&M Corpus Christi? Let's now hear from head coach Lindsey Gottlieb, Juju Watkins, India Otto, and Mackenzie Ford.
Thank you for being here. This crowd, I think, speaks to the growth of women's basketball, to the excitement around our team that our players have earned, but it means a lot, and we appreciate the coverage. First of all, I want to credit Texas A&M Corpus Christi for winning a championship, for having 22 wins on the year, bringing a whole lot of fight in here and a lot of pride. I thought they represented themselves really well and challenged us. And I'm happy to get through the first one. It had been a while since we played. I have players who were eager to get going again. And I think it was a good one for us. I think when you look at the numbers, a team that kind of really disrupts you with zones and traps, to have 25 assists and only 12 turnovers speaks well to us. We obviously started hot. And we have things to work on too, which I know that we'll, you know, get back to that tomorrow, but really proud of our team. I think, as I've said before, Juju handles the weight of everything with just a grace that you can't really describe. I thought she had a terrific debut here, made all the right, you know, decisions. Kenzie is playing, you know, as well, I think, as virtually, you know, any guard in the country in terms of leadership and knocking down shots. And I'm proud that India Otto's in here, because there's no one as responsible for building this program as Otto. And I think you can't fake who you are as a team and who you are as a person. And I think the way the team reacts when she's out there just shows the character that she has and a huge, you know, the huge impact she's had on our players. So good day for us, and we'll get back to work and have the chance to play another game on Monday night, which we're really grateful for.
All right, we can open to questions for players, and we'll start in the front here.
Coach, right here, LT Willis, TT Sports, TV1. This is actually for you and everybody. I don't know about y'all, but I couldn't sleep tonight. But what is it like to finally to get this over with, this first game win for your program? That's for everybody to ask.
You want me to go first or you want me to defer?
If we could defer to the players, that would be great. And then we'll come back to Coach after the players have exited. Thank you.
It feels good. I think, like Coach kind of hinted at, like we were definitely itching to play. Had like essentially 2 weeks of practice, so even like yesterday, I was like, I feel like everyone's playing besides us. But it definitely feels good to get it under our belt and to be here in Galen. The crowd was awesome today. You know, I think it really affects us, as you can see out there. So yeah, feels good.
Hey, Juju. Number one. Down in under your belt, talk to me about after getting this win, how excited are you to go through this journey, and also what advice have you gotten from Cheryl Miller about what it takes to make it through this journey?
This is like the most exciting time in basketball, so I'm just grateful to be a part of it. And I think that there's a lot on the line, and that really gives us a lot of energy and momentum going into the game. So I'm just excited, as this is my first run. So whatever I need to do to help out the team, I'm going to do it. And as far as advice that I've gotten from GOAT, she's just, you know, she trusts in my mentality. I think we're similar in some ways, and as far as just the competitiveness to want to win. And she's just always encouraged that and encouraged me never to lose that. So I'm just here trying to compete with my team.
Crystal Rich, KTLA 5 local news. Juju and Mackenzie and the team, congratulations on the win. You guys are both really dependable scorers. The defense, though, tonight was highlighted. 7 blocks in that first quarter, 3 steals, 2 back-to-back steals, 4 blocks. How did that kind of set the tone defensively to get out to that really good start?
It's funny you say that because I think we probably felt like we could have been a lot better defensively. Obviously, like, Juju's a great shot blocker, and, you know, I try to be as active as I can defensively because when we're running out in transition, I think that's when we're playing our best. So I think we definitely had a couple hoes where we're like, you know, we need to string some stops together so we can kind of get that pace back, which I thought we did a good job of in the third quarter. So.
Jill Painter Lopez, KCAL CBS. Juju, the single season scoring record, which you got tonight. Obviously, I'm sure you and Cheryl have talked about it, but what does that mean to you, and what has she talked to you about that? And I would imagine you guys have had some fun with that.
Oh, I wasn't even aware that happened, but I'm just grateful, honestly, to Coach has so much trust in me, and I'm grateful for that, and my teammates have so much trust in me, so. I'm just grateful to be in that mention and to be a part of the Trojan legacy. Tight on.
Sorry, I missed it. What happened?
Yeah, what was the season scoring
record? Oh, gotcha. Well, okay, there you go. I didn't know either.
That's great. Took Nina to win with the LA Times. Juju, I feel like we always ask India about you, so if we could just ask you about India, just what's it like seeing her have this moment? You guys go way back, so yeah. What's it like celebrating this moment for her?
I was more excited for Otto than those are the best points I've seen all season, so I was more excited for her than the win. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. that's far, but she deserves it, bro. Like, we see her score every day in practice, so to see her come out and just, I don't know, she lit up the crowd tonight, bro, so congrats. Thank you.
Luke Evans, Orange County Register, just to piggyback off that, India, you know, you've been through this program for 5 years, a lot of ups and downs, you've seen it all, and to have a moment like tonight where you see this crowd so full at Galen and all cheering for you, arguably the loudest that they were all night, just what does that mean and just this journey to you?
I think honestly words fall short to describe what that feeling meant to me. I literally got goosebumps after I hit that three and I was coming back down and just to hear the crowd. As you mentioned, I've been here for 5 years and, you know, my first year there was nobody in the stands. And obviously last year we went to Blacksburg and played and didn't make it past the first round. So it's incredible to make it past this round. You don't take those moments for granted. But, yeah, it was incredible. I mean, that's a core memory made for me for sure. And I felt like just a culmination of everything that I've put in to this program the last 5 years. And it was really, really special.
Yes, this is for Juju, Bill Plaschke, LA Times. You committed one turnover in the game, and it was the first play of the game. What's going through your mind? How do you fight the feeling of, oh, no, here we go again?
Wait, what do you mean?
When
I turned it over?
Yeah, it was the very first play, first time you touched the ball.
I gave myself a little grace knowing that this is... It was like the first play. I haven't played in 2 weeks, so I was like, okay, like let me get it back. But that's crazy. That's good news. One turn on.
We have about time for one or two more questions. So Blue will go first.
Will Camardella, Annenberg Media. Juju, I'm curious, now that you've gotten your first March Madness game out of the way, I'm curious in terms of what you expected versus what it was actually like in terms of intensity of the opponent, pressure on yourself, knowing one loss ends your season, sort of, mm-hmm. What do you take away from that experience moving forward?
I think it's just important to have confidence. I have a lot of confidence in this team. It's a lot on the line, but at the end of the day, I trust that my teammates and I are going to get the job done because we put in so much work. But honestly, I didn't know what to expect. Still don't really know what to expect, but I'm just here for the ride, knowing what I need to do every game. So I'm just going to give all that I can, and hopefully that ends with the result that we want.
And this will be our last question, Sue. Thank you.
Mackenzie, you're maybe the only one on the team that has, like, you know, one of the few NCAA tournament experience. You guys were at an extreme high after the Pac-12 championship, and then this is obviously a big high. How do you get the team settled down and face Kansas, which is going to be quite the battle on Monday?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we have a group, you know, obviously I'm the only one with tournament experience, but I think we've been battle tested all throughout the season. You know, we have the double overtime game at Arizona, had to kind of pull that one out and then come down, turn around and beat ASU. Then we have double time versus UCLA in Vegas, have to turn around and play Stanford. So those are no easy matches back to back. So I think in a way that kind of like rapidly matured us. So I think, yeah, this team is really hungry, and I think we don't really have trouble like kind of getting people focused back in. I think this team wants to win so bad. We know, you know, that this is our shot. So I think, you know, it takes everyone up here, you know, helps in leading the team in that way. So.
All right. Thank you, girls.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we can start again with the gentleman in the brown sweater. So you can start with your question for Coach.
Sorry, my two little ones are sitting over here. I'm like making sure someone's not getting tackled or whatever. Yeah, Mama. Who do you know who's sitting here? Her two favorite words are SC and Juju. So, smart girl. Yes. Up here they come. Are you guys okay if they just sit here?
Yeah.
Okay, got you. You want to just sit here? Can you sit here, Jay? Can you sit in the seat? No.
Hello.
Just sit here.
Yes.
Yep. Go for it. Sorry for the distraction.
Okay, Coach, as yes. I was saying earlier, what's it like for you to finally, this game is over with now and everything, but getting to this point, what was going through your mind as the game started? What was going through your mind?
I mean, we're not unique to have a bit of a game. Not near the mic. Yeah, what does he see from the stat sheet?
Oh, it's scary.
Yep, she's locked in. Sorry. It's, you know, we're not unique in that we had 2 weeks. We probably had less than some people who didn't play all the way through their conference championship game. But I think there's a balance of excitement, nerves, energy. But once that ball goes up, I'm enamored by the crowd. I think we never take it for granted how, you know, this community has come out for us, for this team. The change that's happened so rapidly with that. It's so amazing. And I think the feeling of the building puts me at ease. Because then it's just our team playing a game. And you get into the moment and you try to make adjustments and make sure I give the players a chance to be as successful as possible.
Coach, right here. Steve Finley, Culver City News, Culver City Observer. What do you take from the NBA to come into a situation? You've had a lot of experience in college.
Yep.
What do you take from the NBA at the highest level in the world? What do you take from that to bring into your situation here at USC?
So, I mean, there's a lot of things. You know, to do something for 20 years, coach women's college basketball, and then pivot and go to the NBA, we probably don't have enough time to tell you how life-changing that was for me, how much it expanded my mind. But just specific to your question right now, I think there's two really major things. The first is that coming back to college basketball at a time when NIL and the transfer portal and player autonomy kind of has exploded, I think, you know, maybe my mindset was already a little bit more there. I'm kind of more progressive in terms of just wanting, you know, players to have rights and abilities. But having spent time in the NBA where you just have to understand that this is the player's career. Of course they're trying to make money. Of course they're trying to advance their career. And at the same time, it doesn't work unless your locker room is about what impacts winning. So I think that's translated really well, the experiences I had there, and watching, you know, JB Bickerstaff really manage that, of how you handle a locker room and how those things can happen at the same time where you care about winning, but also you care about individual players' goals, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is the spacing in the actions that we run and the type of offense we want to play. And obviously, if you throw a player like Juju into the mix and Mackenzie Forbes, I can do more NBA-style things. And Rhea's really embraced kind of using the space to her advantage and things like that. So I would say the mentality and the offensive spacing and actions that we try to run. You have to sit. You have to sit still or you're going to go. You got to sit still or you're going to go. She can't control herself. You can. Please sit.
Hey, Coach, Connor Morissette with 24/7 Sports. Congrats on a great team win. I know it's so early with Juju in her career, but passing the single-season scoring mark with Cheryl, when I call her a generational talent right now, even though she has so much in front of her, what's your response to that?
Say, you'd be crazy if you didn't call her that, right? I mean, I haven't been afraid to talk about how good we think Juju is, especially with what's going on in real time here. Like, when you guys said she broke the single-season scoring record, I mean, that's crazy for any freshman. It's when you think about it's at USC where the woman she surpasses is literally the best basketball player of all time. Certainly in college, you know, Cheryl's pro career was obviously, you know, cut short by injury. I just think we're watching something really spectacular happen with Juju. You know, I was on some call the other day where I said, I think this, we can analyze stats. We can talk about turnovers or shooting efficiency or what have you, but to look at the overarching thing of the impact she's had on a program, she makes others around her better, not just with she has attention and she kicks, you know, for a three for somebody else. Ryan is actually her favorite person in the world, so this is going to go well. But she makes those around her better by, I believe there's a greater confidence in our locker room all the time because the way Juju carries herself, or there's a striving for excellence. Like, whether she says it or not, she impacts those around her to want to achieve greatness, and I think that's where some of this lies, too. We have other terrific players. We would not be here without Caleb Padilla and Rhea and Mackenzie Forbes. I could go on and on. Clarice. I mean, all the ways that we've won games. But in terms of what the impact on this program that she's had, I don't know if there's a player that's had it in their freshman year on a program like ever. And so I think we can recognize that as well. Anybody sit?
No. Lindsay.
Okay.
Hey, Lindsay.
Yes.
Specifically, just tonight. You mentioned yesterday you went through and dissected every single coverage that, you know, she's faced, Juju's faced this year, and tonight looked like she was playing very kind of measured and you know, was making a lot of reads that she's kind of developed as, you know, a player over the course of time. How have you seen her progress as a passer and in those areas of her game and as an overall engine of the offense? Yep. And not forcing shots?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen a lot of improvement. I think tonight, you know, if she shoots the three ball better tonight, it's probably looks like one of her best games on the offensive, you know, on the offensive end, because I thought she attacked when it was time to attack. I thought she kicked when it was time to kick. I thought she shot pull ups. She got to the rim. She took open threes. I think she's continued to improve. It's funny, you know, Bill, you mentioned the first play of the game. I went straight to kind of an ISO for her to see what are they going to do. They kind of single covered her on that one, and she just, you know, muffed it a little bit, but I can go back to that. I can go to something else. We definitely understand that we can put her in spots on the floor, and she's going to make the right read. A couple times I put her on the post, and I thought she had great passes, right, out of the post. I mean, I think she really just can understand spots on the floor now. And this team, you know, Corpus Christi threw a lot of various looks at us, like the traps and stuff, and you just got to make plays out of it. And other people, you know, really made plays as well. Obviously, Forbes, he shot it really well, and, you know, Rhea finished when it was her time to do so. And but a lot of, you know, the defensive schemes we see are because of what people are trying to plan around Juju.
All right, and we have time for one last question. Thank you.
Hey, Coach. McKenna Keel, Pac-12. Hi. Congratulations.
Thank
you. That was fun to watch. I think it's obvious to anyone who's spent time around this team, obviously seeing Reese and Jordan up there with you, that it's truly a family. But I think we all got to see that tonight with the way that the team reacted to India's buckets. How do you carry that with you through this run, and just how special and unique is it?
Yeah. Well, I think this might be Jordan's last press conference for a while, so thank you guys for bearing with him, although Reese had a lot to say. But I think what I've talked with our team about, this is a unique situation that we're in terms of, I think we've played this whole year to kind of, you know, show people who we are and establish who we are and then bring that people. Now we're sitting, you know, with a one seed. But I, what I've talked with them over these last 10 days about is keeping the joy that we have while also playing with a sense of urgency. And I think that's what you saw in the Pac-12 tournament, right? Like I think we haven't played with the weight of the world on our shoulders. I think we've played like we have, you know, a lot of fun together, and we really love one another, but then with an urgency that we often are the toughest team out there, and we've out-rebounding people, and, you know, you can't just be loose and happy. You got to be loose and happy with legs behind it and how tough we're going to be, and that's what we want to keep. And when you do that, it people throw around the term family, but it's these players every day showing up, buying in. And like I said, you can't fake how they feel about Otto. And that's because Otto's been that person, you know, for the entire year, every single day. And I think that's when those real bonds and stuff come. So I think it's a real strength of ours. I do.
All right. That was USC head coach Lindsey Gottlieb, Juju Watkins, India Otto, and Mackenzie Forbes following their big win over the weekend. They now play Kansas tonight with a bid for the Sweet 16 on the line. The USC women of Troy have had a fantastic season, so we'll see how far they go. That is all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing. Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a fiend. Trying to floss on him, blind to a broken man's dream. Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.